looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Light on Living. I'm Light Coach Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach, helping to lighten the load of life's challenges. And we are just barreling through the month of self-love. And as we do so, it is so interesting what, like, we're just at the start. Like, we're literally just steps up this mountain, this beautiful mountain. And already the word self-love has a different vibration to me, a higher vibration of, it's because I have more of an understanding, like a connection to it. And that is a really cool thing. Like when you think you've heard this word or term forever and you think, how can it possibly mean more? And what I've learned is that when you understand them on a deeper level and when they mean more to you, that you actually start adding this life to it and this vibration. And today on this month of self-love is the one and only publisher of What Self-Love Got to Do with It. And she really is the one who felt all the right co-authors for this entire book. Like, there's a lot to go on. It wasn't just like 14 people raised their hands and said, oh, pick me. And she said, yes. I mean, there's a lot to go through and a lot of really seeing what that is going to look like, but not being attached to it. And the theme for today's show and for self-love is actually reinvention. And why I'm so excited that we are talking to Heather Andrews today, and I'm going to read her a little bit about her bio in a minute, but what it is that she has her own chapter in the book, and it's about her reinvention. So I would like to, first of all, just take this opportunity to thank Heather right now, because I would like to acknowledge her and say that she has actually helped so many other people reinvent their lives through writing in this book and through reading this book and in my life. So first of all, thank you, Heather. I know you're there, so I want to say thank you and acknowledge you. Thank you. You're welcome. And then let's find out about Heather. So I'm going to read her bio that's actually from her chapter. And just a reminder that anybody listening in right now, if they want to pop over to the Facebook page of either What Self-Love Got to Do with It or Heather Andrews with an S or my page, Lisa Berry, Berry, and either give us a comment, post, like it, share it, do something about that, you are going to be entered into a draw to win your very own copy of What Self-Love Got to Do with It. So I really encourage you to do so. So here's a little bit about Heather. Well, Heather is a lifestyle strategist, certified follow-it-through health coach, and international best-selling author. Heather Andrews initially created the inspiring Mom on the Go Teenage Mentorship Program in a bold, immediate response to being restructured out of her dream management position in the... Oh, goodness, Heather, you're a writer.
Yeah,
belingered. Belingered. I love when that happens. Healthcare system. She was unaware of the extent of her resiliency, love that word, or what this confidence shattering experience would uncover. And a lot of us have that, so I love that that's in here. Heather's veritable rediscovery of her self-esteem and her journey to the realization of a deeper personal identity led her to ultimately embrace entrepreneurship wholeheartedly. With her own publishing company and bestseller based on her signature story, Obstacles Equal Opportunities, as well as a foray into podcasting and internet radio, where she will host her own show, Follow It Through to a Stellar Life. As a speaker, Heather inspires audiences by sharing her challenges and the survival strategies that continue to help her optimize adversity. Being a voice in self-discovery and revitalization, she is making a positive difference, and she sure is. Hello, welcome, Heather.
Thank you, Lisa. It's an honor to be with you today.
Aw, we've just really had some fun. Like, I can't believe it's only been 3 or 4 interviews already, but it just feels like that when you were putting, I'm going to jump right into this, when you were putting this particular book together, What Self-Love Got to Do with It, there was a reason why you chose, like, you've already had books, you've already published, you already do this. Why self-love? Why now?
The one common thread that I found in the other books that I had compiled obstacle equal opportunities, and the real journey of the empowered mom boss. The common thread of all of it was self-love. When people had adversity come to them, and as they were walking through it, and the victim mode, and all of those emotions set in, like shame, rejection, you know, and when you're looking in the mirror and you go, ugh, I just don't like who I see there, and or why me? And the common thread at the end of every single story was self-worth, self-love. When I learned that I needed to be more in my life, I wanted a different story and how to really overcome. It was searching for the answers. It was when I learned that I was worthy of more, I took a step forward to learning to love myself more. And then as I learned to love myself more, my world changed through different steps, different learning, different people, different energy. And that's really what the essence was. And I've had all of these authors come to me. We've had 70 through our business thus far, and it's really been such a wonderful experience to share this role with all of them. But the one common thread, as I've said, is just really that self has really come into it. So when we called the book "What Self to Do with It," with the and it was actually one of my good, very good friends, Dr. Erin Oxall, that helped me name the book. And she basically, we came up with this. And what's the answer? It's really the foundation of everything.
Oh, I can't believe you said that word foundation. That's actually, I pulled two cards just before the show and they both had the word foundation in them.
And actually, we have Erin coming up in this month as well. So that's something to look forward to. And we'll mention that. When you... obstacles become, wait, let me go back to your line. What was your line there? Obstacles equal opportunities. So you came into some big obstacles.
I did. And it's interesting because even prior to my restructuring, like in my intuition, I knew that things weren't as they were supposed to be. And I saw, you know, my journey coming to an end within that company. And even though I saw it and I sensed it, the day that it happened, I was all strong and everything. And then as soon as I went home and the next day after, it was like, wow, okay, this doesn't feel so good right now. And it took me probably about a year to walk through that space. And I was working, I'd gone back to work in my healthcare profession. But I knew that I did not want to work in a full-time position. And I knew that I needed to create something different. That I knew. So when that news came down about my job loss, I came home and I looked at my husband and I said, I've lost my job today, which were just awful words to say. Mm-hmm. And because you kind of go, I felt kind of like a rejected, little bit of failure, a little bit of shame. But I knew that I didn't do anything wrong. And there's that stigmatism that when you say that you've lost your job, there was a whole company that got restructured.
Yeah.
It's a business decision. That's it.
When you two things there. I want to first ask a question. When you say it was a year, was that you going through the emotions or you not working in that field at all for a year?
Oh, I went back to work. I was back at work within 20 days.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was back to work. Okay. And I went back into just my healthcare career. I found some casual positions. I found some contracts just so that I could maintain financial status, right, within my house because I have a family of five. Oof. And, yeah, I have three wonderful kids and a husband and a dog.
Oh, I love that you include the dog. Yay.
Yes, well, she's important. And it was very interesting because as you walk through that, even though you were back in work and all should be well, you still kind of wondered who this other person was because everything that I had poured my heart and soul into was that job title.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And all of that identity was like, who's Heather Andrews if she's not this or this or this title? And I struggled with that. I really, really did. And that's what took me a year to walk through and clear out.
and get through.
Yes. Were you actually taken active? Like, because sometimes we just have that happen. I actually have a very, very close friend, and it's been years, and she just has spiraled downhill, and she has not walked through it. She's in it. When those words come out of her mouth or some people's mouths, I lost my job. They could be very well saying, I lost myself.
Yep. So what do you just know? Where, oh, I lost myself. I got to find myself. I know exactly what to do. You know, right?
Just walk us through that one.
I lost my spark.
Oh, yeah.
And I lost my, I was angry, so angry. And I think the other thing that came up was I just felt that, and this was my own perception, mm-hmm. and it was very interesting because it's a very small industry that I worked in. And when my book Obstacles Equal Opportunity came out and a couple of the people read this, they were like, no one ever saw you as that. Mm-hmm. No one ever saw you as that rejected soul that nobody ever saw. No one ever felt that you, what you described in this book, no one ever saw that. And we knew that you had just been restructured because of whatever reason. But yet you're right, you lose sense of self. And in my city at that time, I live in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and at that time, oil and gas industry had plummeted. And it was interesting because if I was going through this at that time, because it happened right around the same time, what were other people feeling and what were other people going through?
Your compassion.
And that was the essence, really, for why I wrote Obstacles Equal Opportunity. Because the lesson was, when you start to ask the question of, okay, I'm still the same as I was yesterday. I was an empowered person in that role with that job title. And today I wake up and the only thing that has changed is I don't have the title.
Right.
So how do you define who you are without all of that? And when people ask me what I do, I tell them what I do, but I always try to show up as who I am first.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I love that.
And it's really changed how the questions that I ask people when I meet someone new.
Yes.
What would be a question that you ask? I love this. We were just at a big event, and one of the ladies, I said, what brings you here today? How are you connected to the person holding the party? And it was my husband's event, so of course I threw his name in. And she was like, oh, you know, I work here. And I said, oh, how cool is that? Tell me a little bit about that. You love your job. And, you know, what are some of the highlights of it? Or something like that. It's not what you do, but it's who you are in that space. And, you know, and she loved what she did, so it was a great conversation. And then we moved into, oh, you know, we should get together for dinner. And we moved into, you know, kids, and her daughter was there, and I met her daughter. And it just sort of evolved into this, you know, I have her phone number, and we're going to go out for dinner. And it'll be a wonderful new friendship and relationship, whatever that looks like. And that's where it is. It's who you are. Like, what do you love to do with your daughter? What's your favorite activities? What do you love to do with your friends? What kind of movies do you like? You know, like, once you kind of get past the job thing, or what you do in your life, or entrepreneurial, or if somebody says, I have my own business. Oh, what made you do that? How did you come across your business? Because half of us have our business because we have a passion for service and help.
Mm-hmm. I love it. You know, it's so funny. I was on a call the other day, and it was a group, a circle group. Oh, actually, it was Stacy's group. My goodness, Stacy Lettimer Cooper, of course.
Yes, the Empowered Women Circle,
yes. Everybody should pop on there. I'm going to link there as well. But it was
an amazing group of women.
It really was. You could feel it. And it was funny because I don't know that I've ever done that one before. But when they said, oh, Lisa, just tell us a bit about yourself. And I came up, I didn't say anything other than about a radio or anything. I said, well, the first thing I'd love to share with you is that I'm a cat lover, and I walk barefoot all the time. And that's what I first said. and it was kind of lighthearted and exactly what you said. People actually felt who you are and not what you do. And this is I think this is the key to reinvention, is to focus on who you are and not what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. And what and that was sort of the key thought to who Heather Andrews is. And not to mention, I went out and I basically went out and I explored options. Like as I met a different coach and I thought, okay, I like where she's going. I got integrated into networking groups where I knew that there was women who had either been through the same thing, and I was just looking for a different way. I'm thinking, if all these women do all these different things, how do I change what I want to do? Where do I go? How do I meet new women? Who are these other women in these communities that are doing great things? And that is really where I started. And then it just evolved from there. And I found, some great transformational weekend seminars I went to. And as I kind of scraped off the first layer of hurt, anger, this and that, I found that I had some deeper rooted issues that went back to childhood. And then I took level B of this transformational weekend. And I worked a lot on how to reframe when something negative comes, how to reframe it into a lesson or a different spin on how to look at something. And I use something called belief repatterning, which is a 7-step system through a beautiful lady by the name of Suze Casey. And I have
met... on that, because we're going to run into that commercial. But wait, we're going to back it up. We can go through some of those steps. I really want to explore. You just mentioned, if you want to make a change, there are ways to explore things. And we're going to talk about what self-love has to do in that part of getting that courage to do it. So when we come back.
Perfect.
Best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Light on Living with Lisa Berry. And today, as we just go chapter through chapter of what self-love got to do with it, we are speaking with the publisher, actually, and an author of the book, Heather Andrews. And before we left, I really wanted to pull this back to one very challenging thing people go through as they even begin to think of reinventing themselves is, okay, so I want to reinvent myself, and these are all the things I have to do, want to do, should do, but oh my gosh, I'm scared. I don't even want to go in public. I don't have enough self-love built up. But you mentioned the word courage, or it came up, and I wanted to talk about what you feel courage has a part of love. It is one of those foundational blocks. And where did you get the courage to do that?
I have always wanted more. And I think, yeah. And I never really was happy with status quo. And I always, and I know that the courage for me has always just, I want something different. I want to go do different things. I want to try different things. And that was really when the day that I came home and uttered the words, I lost my job today. I knew that I had to have the courage to go on, because it wasn't about just about me at that point. It was about my three kids. It was about making sure that we were financially sound still. And that role has always been there, and there's always been courage inside. And I can probably attribute my mom to that. I can, that mm-hmm. lesson, I can attribute to my husband to teaching me that. And just even throughout my life, because my dad was an entrepreneur. He was very brave in his journey. And there was very meek times in those days, but it always worked out because he believed so much in what he did. Mm-hmm. And after he passed, it was very hard for my mom, but I was there by her side, and I watched her go through that journey. And then when she remarried, and after her second husband passed, she walked through that again. And so my mom has modeled courage, and she has modeled, it's always going to be okay. Mm. And through that love and support, I found that support piece is huge. And I knew that when my husband is a U.S. military, he's a veteran now. And when we go back to 10 years ago, yeah, it was like more like, yeah, 10 years ago, we'll just go back to 10 years. The kids were small at that point, and he was a soldier in the U.S. military, and he did serve in Desert Storm. And when we got married, he was a reservist. Even though we live in Canada, he was still with the U.S. military as a reservist. And in 2005 to 2007, he got recalled to go to Afghanistan. Now, being a Canadian, I never really ever traveled that road. And that was like a foreign land. That was like a foreign land to me. And I didn't really know all of the emotions that were going to partake during that time. And I never really felt, and I thought, you know what? I have to put on my courage, and I have to wear it, and I have to flex it, because A, I have to raise these kids, and I have to be a support for him here to know that we're okay. And he went off and he did his thing, and it was not easy. And a lot of that initial follow it through mom on the go program, a lot of that program came from the lessons that I learned during those two deployments, because he did two back-to-back deployments within a five-year span.
Oh.
So it was a solo parent with, and I mean, there's military families that do this. This is their life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really when I began to understand what this actually was. And I remember getting a phone call, and one of the calls was from a military office or something, and it was about a bombing. Mm-hmm. And I remember that like yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I remember just emailing him and going, please email me as soon as you can. I need to know you are okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because you felt your heart just go funk,
yeah,
with that fear. But I knew at the end of the day, I had to find the courage to put that face on if the news was not good.
Right, either way.
And, yeah. And at that point, you know, my dad had passed and we had gone through all of that, but I knew I had a support system because my mom and her husband were there every step of the way for this deployment, which was wonderful. And I had a very supportive employer and things like that. So it was really that road. And so there's things that we are faced with, and we go through each day, and that takes courage to show up for that.
I want to sit on that word, because your chapter is actually called Self-Love is Your Choice. And I love that you had said earlier, you said you had to flex your courage. And I'm thinking right now, because I started a workout program and my core muscles are letting me know that I did that yesterday. And I thought, you know what? Those muscles were there before, but I had to flex them. And now I'm feeling them, right?
Yeah.
And I love, because our heart is a muscle, courage, core, the word. And I love that you said self-love is a choice and we must flex it to go there, have awareness of, there you are. I do have courage. I am using it. I'm choosing to use it. And I have a question about we're talking about reinvention, and then you use the word foundation that came up with me. I wanted to ask you just a general question in your belief. When does your foundation get reinvented as well, or do you use your foundation to reinvent?
I think sometimes you have to go back and change the foundation. Because sometimes the foundation that you have grown up with may not serve you with things that you might believe.
I love that. You were actually explored something, came up with yet another thing from your foundation that did not serve you.
Yes. And so the one thing that did not serve me was believing that I was not worthy of love because as a child, I was heavier, like chunky, whatever you want to call it. And I believed that I was not worthy of love because of my size. I mean, I'm a size 10 today.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, and this, but I've struggled with self-image pretty much my whole life because of someone saying, oh, you can't have that cookie. Look at your little rolls. And so this is where, you know, this is where words and when you get told that more than once or more than twice or more than even three times, you kind of think you grow up with that. Mm-hmm. And then that kind of takes a toll on how you show up in high school, how you show up in junior high, and how you show up in all of these places. And even though you put on a strong face, you go home and you look in the mirror and you go, ugh, right?
Yeah.
That's my favorite word, ugh.
Yes.
It's the only way that, it's just that exasperation.
Yeah.
And so when you talk about the foundation, sometimes that road to reinvention needs to be changed. So you have the foundation of, you'll have the foundation of, you know that your mother loves you. You know that, you know, she's there for you. Or, you know, it might be your father, or it might be an aunt, or what, you know, whatever those core beliefs are, we can change. We have a certain amount of foundation, we have a certain amount of belief, and we have a certain amount of this courage in order to move forward, because we all have courage within us, because we wouldn't be standing where we all are if we didn't have some type of courage in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we may not call it that, we still kind of show up and deal with the battles that come to us. But it's how you show up to those obstacles, to those things that come up, and whether and how you react to them to get through them and come out the other side. And how you come out the other side is kind of the mindset that you go into it with. And this is where I had lack of trust. I had lack of love for myself. And I landed up in a not so great marriage the first time around because of that belief that I was fat and no one would love me. So it was better to have somebody that was half love, that was, you know, just kind of there, even though I wasn't really in my marriage anyway, because I checked out. I didn't want to be there. And that's when it was like, that was that a moment of, no, I need to get out of this. And I did something very brave. I did something very bold, actually. And I went home to my mother and I said, Mom, there's a job opening. Two of my friends are going. The healthcare system sucks here back in 1993. And I'm going to Saudi Arabia, Mom. I'm going to get on that plane and I'm going to Saudi Arabia. And I said, I need to go. I need to do this for me. I need to know. I need new people. I need to go and put my brave face on, and I just need to go do this. I need to get out. I need to get away from him. I need to get away from this life, this situation here. Now, I'm not saying that everybody needs to get on a plane and go 12 hours away to a foreign land.
Yeah.
But what I am saying is that when you, and I'm not saying that you have to go and be that bold or that, you know, but make one change. Choose one thing that you want to make it better. And just really lean in to knowing that as soon as you start with just one thing, you know, two good things can come. And you might have to go through the obstacles. And trust me, getting into this role of a publisher, and the last 3 years, and we've had 95% growth in our business because of just changing and leaning in and trusting and surrendering to a, and changing a mindset, changing, you know, and changing me and trusting myself and my inner guidance and my inner tuition to know what's right and what doesn't feel good. And it takes time to really, and I have not done it alone. I've had mentors. I've done over 100 and some hours of personal development. Woo! And I've gone, you know, and I've been on a floor, you know, with an angry stick because I was so mad at life.
I want to dive into that, but before we move on, there's a big thing I want to just sit on, because when you talked about, I love that you said, you know, you made this a big, bold, courageous decision to change your environment completely. And now I just want to highlight for the listeners here, when you decide that you want to reinvent, what I feel, what I'm looking at, like, is there are conditions around you, there's an environment that you're in, and the biggest thing, the biggest role for me even recognizing this, are the habits that we do. And a habit can be, you know, yes, how we operate every day, but it's our thinking, our habit, mm-hmm. our thinking can be a habit. So if you're in the habit of thinking negatively, of a habit of thinking fearful thoughts, habit of thinking I'm not worthy, you need to change that habit. That's where the mindset comes in. So what I really love that Heather decided, I need to change all this environment to get out of this habit. I need to put myself into something different so that I develop hopefully not habits, but good habits. And I love that was something, because if I am in a, sometimes I used to shake up my life. I used to move every 6 months for about 10 years. And it was because I was in an unhappy relationship. I kept thinking if I just changed that, I would change. And it did. And I got a little better every time. And it built up the courage. I was like, well, geez, I can do this. I can change. I can reinvent myself as well. And I just didn't know who I wanted to become at the time. So I kept doing that. And I love that. So I moved around a lot, and you did 100 hours of, you know, self-development. And that's the thing, is we can do our self-development in a different way, a way that we need so that we can change those things and find out who we are. And that's where I want to bring it back to. How we find out who we are is to be able to listen and hear our own guidance and intuition. And that is one of your mindset tips. And it is, number one, follow your inner guidance and intuition. If you can't hear it, stop and listen. Mm-hmm. And that's where I want to bring you back to there about that is, when you were doing self-development, how did you, when you're doing all those 100 hours, I mean, you've got this little tape going on in your head, how did you stop it so you could listen to your inner guidance while you're in the midst of being able to be introduced to all this new stuff?
How did I change it? I think it was a process, you know? Mm-hmm. It was, I think the first thing was I didn't want to hate where I was anymore, and I wanted something different.
I love that.
And when that kind of hit, it was, okay, that was awareness that I wanted something different. And it was actually also somebody was actually bold enough to ask me, you know, do you love yourself enough to get out of the situation that you're in? Do you love yourself enough to change how you view this? And so somebody asked me and it was actually a very brilliant nurse in one of the clinics that I worked in. She was just awesome. And I don't think I'll ever forget her, because she was a very, very intelligent and soft-spoken woman, but she had heart and spirit and soul, and she was just wise beyond her years, you know? Mm-hmm. And somewhere I know that we had connected. And I really looked to her back then when I was in my 20s. And that to me was like the triggering point of the turning point that really kind of set me on a different journey. And it was that was probably that turning point. It was like, no, I don't have to be put down by him. No, I don't have to listen to his way. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be separated from my family because he doesn't think that this is a good thing. And it was like, no, I don't want this. This does not feel good for me. So whenever something doesn't feel good, that's kind of like, or you know how you get that really tight feeling and you kind of go and it goes and your whole body goes ding, 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 ding.
Mm-hmm.
That is key number one, because that's that inner guidance going bing, 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 bing. This isn't feeling right. And when I started to really listen to that, that's when things really changed within that scope. And one thing, and I, because that is, it's a very big part. But also, too, it was, you know, it is mindset tip number one. It's, you know, inner guidance, intuition, and really stopping and listening. We live in such a busy society that I said to somebody in a speech that I gave, I said, have you ever gone into our body listens to the environment that we're in. And if you go into a store within like 5 minutes of being in that store, and it might even be less, your heart starts to race to the beat of the music. So you're taking on all that surrounding and your heart's already moving to the beat of the music. So think of all the other stuff that you take on.
Yes. And in taking in all of that, we are going to listen to some commercials. And so, but when we come back, this is really fun. I want to hear, now we get to hear about the reinvented Heather Andrews and what we want. This is a turning point for us. We get to hear your excitement and success first.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg roll showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Alrighty, jumping back into the month of self-love, we are here with Heather Andrews and myself, Lisa Berry, on Light on Living, and we really are shedding some light on how to live, how to love yourself. And I love that one question that you just brought up, and I want to bring us back there is, and geez, now I can't remember exactly you worded it, but how do you want to show up in life? Do you love yourself enough to show up the way your intuition and your guidance is letting you know? I think that's a really big, big question. And so you've kind of shown up in your life as, my gosh, you're an author, you're a publisher, but you're also a coach. And oh my goodness, well, you're a bazillion things. But how has that, I mean, you're still on a journey. You're still showing up for yourself every day and reinventing like all the time.
Yes. And that's the whole beauty of it is once you get on to the journey of self-discovery and you start to build something different in your life, different people show up on these journeys. And once you realize that you have an awareness to want something different and you are realizing yourself that you are open to something different, it's amazing what comes. And also too, when you start to build like boundaries and communication and really understanding how all of that filters in. And that was one of the key lessons that I learned when my husband deployed, was we had all this busyness in our life because we're a two-parent family. We could have three kids. We could take them anywhere we wanted to go because we had two parents. And it was, you know, when we had all these, their schedules were jam-packed. But when he left, I tried to maintain that schedule, and it was like, okay, whoa, hold on, stop. And that's when it was like, okay, I'm stressed out here, and nobody is winning. And I thought, but what happens? And okay, so now here's the kicker. What happens if I decide that I'm going to stop all of the activities that my children are doing so that I can regroup? Does that make me a bad parent? Does that make me a failure in the eyes of other women and other people and my coworkers and whatever?
No.
and the answer was, no one cared. Everybody's too busy with their own stuff. And nobody even cared that my children, we stopped going to rock climbing. We stopped going here. We stopped going there. And literally, I said to the kids, I'm like, okay, dad's gone. I'm working full time. I have my business still going on here. And I said, I need to kind of just have a moment here because I'm falling apart. And we were doing
they're learning that mom's doing this for her. Look at her love herself. Look at her say, have this conversation, and that we're not just spoiled and get everything. We're learning lessons.
I love this. And I said to them, I'm like, okay, this is where we sit. We're going to take this time and we're going to have a conversation around what you really, really want.
Oh.
And I rebuilt our whole calendar so that when they were in swimming lessons, they all went to swimming lessons together. And I went and worked out for 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't plan anything on the weekend so that they could have downtime and I could have time. Mm-hmm. And I redid my business so that all of my people came to my house versus me going out to them. And that was really where I had to gain control of the external piece and so that I could regain calm within myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes me into my next point about we look to self-worth as an external cue. We wait for all these people around us to say, oh yeah, you rock. Well, you already rock because you get up in the morning every day and you go to work or you serve in some capacity. You look after your children. You look after your spouse, your partner, whatever. You look after your parents, your friends, your dog, your cat, so you don't have to listen to what goes on around you. You know, you can give yourself a pat on the back. You just raise your hand, twist it, and give yourself a pat on the back. You know, like, don't listen to you can listen to other people and when you need opinion and when you are looking for advice.
Yeah.
But don't put your whole heart, soul, and essence into what's going on in this world. Because you yourself are on your own unique journey. You have beautiful pieces that you bring to this world, and they get cluttered up because we just get bogged down with old limiting beliefs and old leaks, and that's where you can change that. And once you realize that there is a different way and there's a self-discovery movement and you plug into these different things and these different groups of people, or you plug into our group even, What Self-Love Got to Do With It, where there's, you know, close to 220 people that are on a journey as well, and there's positive affirmations in there. That's the type of network that you need to plug into. And then as you move through this space and you start to set the boundaries and communicate what you're doing to people, yes, I'm changing the rules. And that's okay. Rules change. And when you start to move that through that yourself and you start to believe in what you're telling people, people will treat you way differently. And your external cues will change as well, because it's coming from the inside out versus going outside in, right?
I definitely want to take the opportunity right now to invite everybody right now to join that group. So if you pop on Facebook, it's What Self-Love Got to Do With It. And it's really pretty. It's pink. It's got a bunch of smiley faces all over there and happy women. And I do want to say, because you know what, I'm making up a little statement here based on your stuff, is you have to explore in order to discover. And how we explore in a very safe way, but a way that it gets you, like we said, communicate it. And you want to ask the opinions of those who are really supportive of that. This is a group that will do that for you. It'll hold a space for you. If you're listening right now, just check it out. Ask to join the group. Heather's the one who gets to, I believe, this is for you or not. And it really is just a place to go explore who you are and let others tell you who you are and help you shine that spotlight on it, and so that you can see that self-love. And so I just really wanted to take that moment there, another moment to say, everybody, again, if you're just post a comment, put a little thumbs up, do anything, and you are entered into a draw to win a copy of What Self-Love Got to Do With It. And I got to say something. This book is really neat because, Heather, you did a beautiful job designing this, because at every end of the chapter, as I always say, there are lessons learned and mindset tips. So even if you think, I don't have time to read it, you know what? It is worth it for there. And then right beside that is a page with lines that you can write on. And how fun is it to write in a book? It's a gorgeous book, Heather. It's just, yes. I love everything about it, actually.
Thank you. And, you know, and the thing too is even though, like, I was a manager, and even though I've done all these courses and facilitation and everything like that, and I knew how to teach people, and then I moved into the coaching space. And there's one thing about, as you know, about being a coach, it makes you deal with your own stuff, right? Because mm-hmm. we all
oh,
have
yeah.
stuff.
You guys are making stuff. Me deal with a lot of self-love stuff right now.
But the one thing that I really wanted to, one of the biggest things is, like, you know, there's so many emotions that are out there, like, that we hear about, like guilt and overwhelm. And when we talk about get on your vibe, right? And there's high rising, there's vibe, there's vibrations that are good feeling vibrations. And then there's those that are low vibrations, and that guilt and that feeling of overwhelm and anger, those are like low vibe, gungy emotions. Like they just don't feel good. And so when you're in that space, the biggest thing is just acknowledge that feeling. It's like, yes, I'm overwhelmed. Yes, I'm these things. But then think about, then really, like, stop. Just stop for a moment. It's kind of like one of the three words that I used, I think it came from Jay Bissette, was stop, look, choose. So when you're, and that's that increase on awareness. It's,
what is it?
Stop? Stop, look, choose.
I can't catch it, what you're saying. Stop?
Stop.
Yeah.
Look.
Oh,
choose.
I'm so sorry. Choose. Okay, gotcha.
Okay. And so it's really like when you feel something that's negative, icky, red flaggish within your stop. And that's that increased awareness. And then, you know, don't always look right, because you're used to looking right. And sometimes there's negative stuff on the right, but look to the left. You might see something more beautiful, like a sunset, and go, wow, so cool. And then at that moment, it also gives you the shift going from one part of your brain into the other part of your brain, because we have the logical side, we have the emotional side, and this is also in a stressful situation. Or you're looking in the mirror and you're starting to talk
negatively to this person in the mirror who's the one that you're supposed to love most in this world, which is you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Stop. Look. And choose something different.
I love that. I truly, right? That's so beautiful.
Yeah. And the other thing is, just before we, I know because we're coming down to the wrap up here, I just want to talk a bit about just one of the key things that has been one of the ways that I've been able to find my reinvention.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the stop, look, choose. And it is the awareness. And it's the recognizing that I want more. And I do have courage because I haven't made it this far. And that's every single person out there. We have it. And fear is just, the root of fear is knowing or feeling or believing that we're not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you that every single person out there has a story that somebody else needs to hear. And, mm-hmm. and unfortunately, you know, and we talk a lot about that as we walk people through, as they publish their stories. But one of the key things, and we talked about it just a little bit ago, was about something called belief repatterning. And I'm going to give you those 7 steps because it's a brilliant book by the lady named Suze Casey. It's a Hay House published, and it's called Belief Repatterning. And I pick a word every day, and I follow these 7 steps.
Ooh.
And it's, the first one is about forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
I forgive myself that I have believed this or that, you know, about a situation in my life. So I always start, even if nothing happened, I still forgive myself for believing that I was unworthy. I still, you know, or whatever, because you're basically moving from, you know, a negative space to a positive space as you move through this. But I start every day, and every is forgiveness. That's the first step to anything in changing in your life,
mm-hmm.
forgiveness, because you have to find peace within it. And then it's giving permission. It's giving permission to want something different. It's giving permission to knowing that you're worth more and the life that you want. Because sometimes people say, well, I want that, but it's like, ooh, no, I can't. I need to stay here. It's like, no, you don't. You have permission. And that has to come from within you. And these are just, and then it's about the choice. And self-love is a choice. It's like, I choose to love myself more. I forgive myself for not loving myself enough in the past. And I give myself permission to love myself and accept love from others. Because sometimes we block, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then the other one is freedom. I am free to choose to love myself more. I am free to say good things to myself in the mirror. And I always say that if I ever talk to my best friend or my spouse about how negatively I talked to myself in the past, my husband wouldn't have been with me for 24 years.
Yes. And, now, in case we do run out of those words, time for the words, I like to make an invitation then for people to hear the rest of those words. Like right now, I just want to hear all of 7 words and just
I'm
going to
give them to you.
Oh, give them. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then it's about affirmation. I am worthy of love. I am, you know, it's like the affirmation. Then the other piece is just the surrender. Mm-hmm. Surrender into the feeling of I am. It's just I am worthy when I work out. Things like that, or in that feeling, right? And then it's gratitude, because gratitude is a very high vibration emotion. And the other thing, I did a post on this yesterday on Facebook about why I'm grateful for the things in my life. I am grateful that I love myself enough.
A beautiful post. Oh my goodness.
And that is sort of why I do what I do, to help inspire others to know they're not alone in this world.
You know what, this has been an incredible hour on not just reinvention and self-love, but self-love is a choice. I just want to highlight that is the name of your chapter, but this really is kind of like a perfect a perfect statement for the entire interview, the show, the sharing of this time. And I already feel, oh my gosh, I can't wait for this replay, because I really want this to reach so many people. But as our final invitations, I really want you to reach out and join that group of What Self-Love Got to Do With It, and or stop by onto Heather Andrews with an S. I think you even have a follow-up through. That's T-H-R-U.
Yeah, the THRU is just follow it through publishing, because we need to follow through on the things that we want.
Yes, yes. And I love that you've walked through so many things. And also, of course, go to my page, Lisa Berry, B-E-R-R-Y, because you can always track down everything there. So we are going to continue the month of self-love. We have four this week, actually. So we're just going to keep on marching through. And Heather, thank you so much for pulling this beautiful book and these women together, and to keep on inspiring all these amazing people, just following it through.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on the show today, Lisa.
Oh, thank you, everybody. All right, so final homework. Join the groups, comment, post, share, and most importantly, love yourself. Find that, look in the mirror, close your eyes, look in the mirror. Just be aware of yourself, looking into it, finding out. There have been so many tips and lessons already in a short time, and we've got the whole month still to go. I'm just so happy that everybody could be joining us here and really embracing what self-love means, and we're just going to keep climbing up that vibrational scale of beautiful emotions, and I'm just so excited everybody's here. So thank you, everyone. We'll talk, see all that good stuff with you tomorrow, Wednesday, noon, 12 p.m. Eastern time. Okay, thank you, everyone. We'll see you then. Bye.